Precious and holy Father, we bow our hearts before you because you are our God. There's none other besides you, Lord. Our hearts bow before you because, Lord, you are everything to us. You are the life, Lord. And without you, O God, we have nothing, Lord. As we prepare, O God, for the ministry that you have called us into, Father, as we begin to understand the call upon our life, as we begin to receive and realize, O God, the dimensions of the gift mix that you are manifesting within us, Lord, we pray that we will truly, in the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth, O God, minister in the love of Jesus, O God. Minister, O God, in the character and nature of Jesus. So, Father, we pray that you will fashion and form our inward parts in the image and fullness of Jesus Christ, so that, Lord, what is fashioned and formed within us will be, O God, of the substance that is the truth, Lord. So that we will come forth, O God, as true servants of the living God, as true ministers of the new covenant, Lord. That we will be, O God, what you want us to be, Lord. That we will be enabled by the Holy Spirit through the fullness of Jesus Christ brought into us, Lord, and perfected and completed into us, Lord. As we continue to meditate, O God, on the gift of inclinations that you are building into us, Lord, we pray that you will enable us, O God, to have the nature and the character of Christ Jesus, so that these gift inclinations will develop in the right way, Lord, that they will develop, O God, in the witness and testimony of Jesus, so that what we do will give expression to the Lord who reigns in our hearts, Lord, because he is the one who must fill all in all, Lord. So enable us to understand that the purpose of the gift is so that he will fill all things, Lord. So enable us to realize that and enable us, O God, to learn how to give expression to the beauty of our Lord and our Master and our beloved, our Lord Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, we pray that you will teach us, that you will enable us, that you will mold us and you will shape us so that we will truly stand in righteousness and holiness of the truth in the name of Jesus before God our Father. Bless us, O God, as you fashion and form our inward parts in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. We are ministers of the new covenant, and we are on the subject of gift inclinations today. We did an initial teaching on that. I just want to continue and bring out other aspects of this gift inclination that God wants to develop in our lives. All right, let's turn to the book of Ephesians. Chapter 2, verse 8. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. For by grace you have been saved through faith. Grace operates through faith. Grace operates through faith. God's grace unveils to us through faith. I just wanted to pick that out of this verse. All right? Here it is talking about salvation. But grace fundamentally operates through grace, and it is the gift of God. And this reality is the gift of God. We have to grow in this, right? Because it is the basis on which God is going to develop the gift mix that he wants to bring out in our life. And I want to make it clear right off the start, right off the bat, that every person here has got a gift mix that God wants to develop. All right? Every one of us here has a gift mix that God wants to develop. All right? You may not be called to stand in the fivefold ministry, but you have a gift mix that God wants to develop in your life. All right? Let's turn to Romans chapter 12, verse 3. For through the grace given to me, I say to every man among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. All right? So the measure of faith is not a static measure of faith. The measure of faith grows. And as the measure of faith grows, we draw on a greater and greater measure of God's grace. Ultimately, we are meant to perfectly function in the grace of God. We are meant to function perfectly in the grace of God. The kingdom of God functions in a reality of grace. Grace upon grace. Right? In the old covenant, God dealt with man through the law. But in the new covenant, he opens to us his righteousness, and he opens it to us grace upon grace. by faith. By faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. All right? But as that faith is developed in us, God will bring forth in us a greater and greater measure of the grace that He wants to bring forth in our lives. All right? So, grace manifests through the faith that we have. And faith comes out of the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. All right? So we know that. All right? So verse 4 then talks about function. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. We are members one of another functionally. And we are functional in a gift mix that God wants to give us. All right? In a gift mix that God wants to give us. So verse 6 goes into saying this. And since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. All right? According to the grace given to us, the gifts differ. No one of us has the same set of gifts. Even if you have the same gift, it manifests in many different ways. All right? We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Let each exercise them accordingly. Right? And that accordingly is by faith. All right? By faith. All right. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. All right? So grace manifests according to your faith. And one of the first things that God deals with is to bring forth this reality of being able to speak spontaneously. Right? Prophesying. Right? Bringing out the spontaneous word. You remember 1 Peter? Right? That we have the capacity to speak as the oracles of God. That's what is God's standard. Right? 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11. Right? We have the capacity to speak as the oracles of God. And as God develops our inward parts, this is what He wants to do. And so, in our private prayer life, in our private time with the Lord, or as we worship the Lord, we must all learn how to move into the spontaneous. Right? Not a thought-determined process, but a spirit-determined process. Right? By the Holy Spirit, you flow and see what flows out of your innermost parts. Are you listening? All right? So that is what is the prophetic word, right? The prophetic word. And there are three realities in which the prophetic word must be manifested, right? 1 Corinthians, keep your finger here. But let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Verse 3. The one who prophesies speaks to men for edification. Edification means to build. And this is how you build your witness. All right? This is how you build that prophetic. This is how you build the prophetic within you. Right? To be able to speak words that will build someone, all right? Build someone, exhort, encourage people, and consolation, or to bring healing into their hearts, right? The words that will bring healing. So this is how you learn how to speak, right? The prophetic word. This is why God wants to bring forth the oracles of God, to bring healing, to build, right? To manifest encouragement so that people will be blessed, right? So, verse 4 says, the one who prophesies, the second half of verse 4, the one who prophesies edifies the church. We are all in the process of building the body of Christ. The whole purpose of the ministry is to build the body of Christ, right? Starting from bringing people into the body of Christ, but also to take people and make them into, to mature them into the image and fullness of Jesus Christ. So, we are in the process of building. Right? And it's so important for us to understand that we must build. All right? We must build. Let's go back to Romans. All right? So the first thing you need to do is to be able to prophesy, right? And this ability to prophesy comes out of Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 14 and 15. Where is the word of God? In your mouth and in your heart. In your mouth and in your heart. Right? So in your mouth and in your heart is where God wants to develop that spontaneous ability to bring forth the oracles of God. Okay? Now we are all called, right, to unfold the oracles of God, to edify, to encourage, right? And to heal, all right? Or to console, right? So don't forget that. That is the basis on which you are going to train your inward man and bring and see how your inward man functions as God wants it to function, right? All right, praise the Lord. All right. If service in his service, in his serving, right? So the second gift inclination that you want to develop is the ability to minister. The ability to minister is the ability to serve, right? Serve, right? And the more you learn how to serve, the more you are going to build your position before the Lord, right? So we need to understand that the Lord said that the greatest amongst us will be servant of all. Right? So learning how to serve. Or he who teaches in his teaching. That's another gift inclination. The ability to teach someone what God has taught you through your life. Through the word that has been perfected and completed into your life. Right? So you need to understand that the word of God must ultimately manifest through your life. How you live is very important. You can't minister without a personal testament in your life, right? You don't minister a book, you minister life. And that life has to, that what's written in this book has to be manifested in your life. You can't teach something and live something else. Right, so that ability to teach doesn't mean you're going to stand in the fivefold office of a teacher, but all of us can teach at some level. Some of us can teach children, some of us can teach youth, right? Some of us can sit down and counsel people, but whatever it is, there are several levels at which you can teach. So that ability to teach, that ability to communicate what God has taught you in your life. All right, so that's another gift inclination, right? So what have we done so far? You can speak spontaneously, and the ability to speak is fundamental to being a Christian. Right? The ability to speak is fundamental to being a Christian. Right? Speak good things, all right? All right. The ability to be a servant is fundamental to being a Christian. The ability to minister based on what God has brought into your life is fundamental to being a Christian. The ability to teach, right? In some level, because we are all learning, right? And learning is a lifelong process in all eternity. Nobody stops learning. Only a fool stops learning, right? Because God knows all things. As we grow in God, we have to learn. And there are always new things to learn and understand in God. All right, so this ability to share what God has taught you, this ability to share the word that God has perfected and completed in your life. That's very crucial. Right. The next ability is the ability to exhort, encourage. Right? Encourage. Right? We are not going to do very much if we are not going to be a source of encouragement. Right? Speak the positive. Don't lie, but speak the positive. Be real, but speak the positive. Even when you go through trials and tribulations, understand that God has the intent of the positive, right? When we go through trials and tribulations, God has the intent of building our faith, and faith is positive, so that we will walk in victory, so that we will learn how to grow in the Lord, so that we will learn how to overcome, right? So he who exhorts in his exhortation, it is fundamental to our Christian faith that we learn how to exhort. Right? Do you realize that to gossip is the wrong thing? Gossip is the absolute opposite of exhortation. So exhortation builds your witness. Gossip destroys your witness. It is fundamental to Christian growth that we all learn how to speak the right things. Right? That we learn how to speak the right things. Because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So when we pose as being superior to someone else who is a non-Christian or someone else who belongs to a denomination of Christianity whom we feel do not have the level of revelations that you may have, right? That is the wrong thing. That's the wrong thing. He who gives with liberality. Every Christian must have the ability to give. Give of yourself, give of your anointings, give of what you have learned in the Lord. Right? To give, right? Not just of material things. Right? Freely you have received, freely you must give. So God is building a gift mix, a gift inclination within you where giving is very important. All right? Giving is very important. Give with liberality. Right? The more you are able to give enables you to say that God is someone who has given you much and you are able to express it. Right? That you are willing to do that because you have given up on selfishness and self-centeredness. Right? He who leads with diligence. We all must learn how to be leaders in some capacity. To lead is to do the right thing, to be responsible. Right? Sometimes to lead, you have to take the back seat. Sometimes to lead, you have to pray for someone instead of just having a head-on clash with that person. As you get used to the church, you will find that many people in leadership positions are often very immature. Yet God has got a purpose for them. Sometimes many of us who are given leadership positions are called to support others in leadership position, to enable them to grow up, to enable them to mature. So when we are in a leadership situation, we have to learn how to give and take. It is part of leadership. Because ultimately, leadership in the body of Christ is a collective leadership. Yes, there is no doubt there are people in charge and people who hold higher positions of authority and accountability. But in the end, leadership is fundamentally collective. When a church falls apart, all of the leadership is to blame. Because lives are destroyed when those things happen. So lead, right? Lead responsibly. Lead not having your own way. Lead with diligence. Right, lead with diligence. Diligence includes integrity of heart. It's so important because many people fail to be honest. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. We all need to be merciful people, right? But you already see that the tone now is changing towards character now. To be merciful is not just an ability, it is also a nature and a character. And now you see that the Holy Spirit starts changing the tone of this gift. What shall I say? Gift inclination that he is building within us. He starts moving into nature and character. So in verse 9 he says, let love be without hypocrisy. Love is a nature. But love is also something that permeates every reality of gift that you have. Let love be without hypocrisy, right? Love is not a romance. Love is an action word. It is a tough word. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 tells us that love never fails. That's powerful. Love never fails. God, we all don't want to fail. Love is the basis on which you cannot fail. If you choose to love, you will find that over time, God will manifest his victory in your life. So don't give in to your carnal self, right? But choose to love. Choose to love. Let's just look at 1 Corinthians 13 for a short while. First Corinthians 13. Love is patient. Patience is great strength. Patience is something that understands that God is at work. Patience is something that understands that God is at work. So when love is patient, right? When you're patient, you know that God is at work. All right, that's part of your build up of faith and love. All right? Love is kind. Love is kind means you can see that there are people who need help. There are people who need help. You can be working in a leadership situation and you realize that somebody is immature. And if you take time to understand that person and his background, you will begin to realize why that person is like that. And so if you're going to put together a leadership team, and ultimately in every form of ministry, there has to be a leadership. In your family, you have to have a leadership between yourself and your wife. And just taking that simple picture, you begin to understand that there is so much that is needed in order to understand your spouse, whether your spouse is male or female. Right? So love has to be kind, because we all have flaws. We sometimes tend to forget that we have flaws and we pick other people's flaws. Right? But really, love is something that builds through those flaws. Understanding that God is love and God is at work. So we need to be kind when we see people's flaws. That is not to say that we do nothing about those flaws, but you need to understand that those flaws have to be worked out in a joint partnership. Somebody has to carry the burden while that flaw is being worked out. All right? Love is not jealous. Does not have its own way. Love is not selfish. Okay? Love does not brag. Right? There is no superiority in the kingdom of God. We have all been blessed. God is building us. Right? Even if you stand in the front line of ministry, always remember that you are standing there because there are people praying for you. There are people supporting you in more ways than you understand. There are people being led and being inspired by God to pray for you. There are people who are covering all the holes in you. So often we tend to think that we are the ministry. No, we are not. That's why the church is a body. That's why God says we all have to learn how to function in the capacity that God has for us. And in that process, we learn how to be one body. And that's how we mature, right? That's how we mature. Love is not arrogant, right? It's very important, because if you love, you're not arrogant. Arrogance leads to ultimate death. Arrogance will destroy everything. Arrogance is a curse. Arrogance, pride, self-righteousness are all death sentences. So love is not arrogant. So if you are a person who has love, and love is the quality by which God will define your position in the kingdom of God. Because it is through love that you are in His image. It is through love that you understand the work of God. You can only understand the heart of God if you live with that love. It's not easy to love, but we have to love, because that is the real training to become a minister of the living God. All right. Love does not act unbecomingly, verse 5, right? Does the right thing. Love does not seek its own, right? Always in a leadership position, when we come together as a church, we must understand what God's doing in that church. And we must be able to make our own desires subordinate to what God is doing. Even the leader in the church has to understand that. You can't have your own way. We all have things we like to desire to do, which we think are a great idea. Nothing is going to be built on our great ideas. To build the church of Jesus Christ is a God thing. It is not merely a good thing. It is a God thing. To work in the ministry of the new covenant is a God thing. It is not a good idea. Many of us think that because I have a good idea and it makes sense, it is what God wants. Not necessarily. It's so important that you do what God wants you to do, that you are standing where God wants you to stand. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's part of your training, right? To know what God wants you to do, right? So finding out what God wants you to do is the primary driver in your ministry. Because that which God does not want to do is ultimately a waste of time. Love is not provoked. Often in the church we get very angry with people. Yes. And that can be very valid grounds to be angry. But love learns how to overcome. That doesn't mean there are not times when we will have to correct. But when we correct in truth. We correct in righteousness, right? Now all these are standards, right? That are very high. But to realize all this, you have to put on Christ. If you don't put on Christ, all this is impossible for us to do. We can't just take this as a principle and try and live the principle. You can't. You can only do this through Christ who strengthens you. You can only do this in the character and nature of Christ Jesus that you receive and realize. Of his fullness we have all received. Grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. If you don't realize something through Jesus Christ, it ain't gonna work. Right? It ain't gonna work. Right? Love does not take into account a wrong suffered. People will say wrong things, people will do wrong things. The key is not to retaliate. Because the moment you retaliate, the devil comes in like a flood. And he will take that bridgehead and he will break the whole church. He will break the whole leadership team up. And before you know it, what God purposed for the church is gone. Everybody is in camps. Everybody wants to do their own thing. Everybody thinking, I am right. Nobody is right. Only God is right. When you come closer and closer to God, you will find that so many things we thought were right in our life in the past were actually wrong. Many things that we tried to do in our own strength because we thought it was a great idea, God was never in it in the first place. We just went in like, you know, bullheadedly trying to say that this is the way it's going to be, quoting chapter and verse and thinking that because we can quote chapter and verse, it must be right. Love does not rejoice in unrighteousness. That's like pointing a finger at someone and saying, I told you so. Why? Because we all members one of another. When someone fails, we've all failed. That kind of thinking is pretty hard to fathom until you get into a family situation. In a family situation, you realize that if somebody loses out or somebody is hurt in the family, everybody loses out. If the husband fails, if the husband fails in his role as a father, the whole family suffers. There is no way a mother can replace the father role. There is no way she can do it. No matter how good a woman she is, she cannot fulfill the role of a father. In the same way, when a mother fails, there is no way a father can replace that role of the mother. So what does that teach you? That for a family to stand together, for a family to be successful, the father and the mother must find ways to stay together, to work together. They are not going to bless their children by fighting with each other or having their own way. The most stable environment you can manifest in a home is love. And this is what God is talking about. Not a romantic kind of love, the wishy-washy emotional stuff, but the stuff that will stand the test of time, the things that will enable you to overcome difficulties and enable you to go through problems and enable you to go through sorrow and pain and come out stronger in your faith, more convicted in your love, right? That in the whole process, your relationship with your spouse is what love is all about. That ultimately, because you have gone through the mill, you understand you can't live without your spouse because your spouse is so much a part of your life. And you see, it is not a romance. It is something that goes through the hard knocks of life, and through the hard knocks of life you realize that this is the person I want to live with, because I can't live without this person. Now that is the building block of our relationship as the body of Christ. As we mature in the Lord, we must see value in each one of us. We must see the gift mix that God is developing in each one of us, and we must respect it and value it and understand its purpose in what God is doing in the whole church. Sometimes you have people who are very gifted, say prophetically, and sometimes they behave in certain areas of their life like a child. So what do? You have to stand and take the pain until they grow up. Because the body of Christ needs that prophetic gift. And it needs that prophetic gift to be nurtured and matured in the right character. If you look at the church, we are all a fallen people who have come together. None of us is perfect by any standard. All of us have flaws. So when we come together and we have to put things together, we have to learn how to be able to cover each other, isn't it? Right? If you expose each other's nakedness, what will happen in the end? All of us will lose. Nobody's going to win out of anything like that. If you see somebody fall, what are you going to get out of it? Will you be blessed? Will you be filled with ecstasy to see somebody else fall? No, you will not. So we have to learn how to think and do the right thing. So verse 6 says, love rejoices with the truth. Love pursues truth. Truth sets people free. So when we read in Romans, let love be without hypocrisy, it is talking about these things, strength. We all need that ability to love that will build our character and our nature. Love is the basis of all forms of ministry. If you cannot love, you don't know how to minister. You cannot know how to minister if you don't know love. Love bears all things. That is pretty strong stuff. I've been reading a book lately about a pastor who, after having gone through so much of suffering that God took him through, he says, Lord, I love you. That's amazing. That's amazing. Yeah. Love believes all things consistent with God's word. We are here as a ministry. We are here as a ministry team. We are here as members of the Church of Jesus Christ. We have to believe that God is doing a work amongst us. We have to believe and understand that God will manifest the triumph of Jesus Christ in His church. And we must, no matter what the setbacks are, move in that direction. We must not be stumbled by other people's flaws. So many spouses cannot forgive their spouse for failures in the past. And the whole future is mortgaged because of something that happened 15 years ago. And that is foolishness. That's why you need to love, because love gets the healing and carries on. Emotion sits down and meditates on the failures of the past. And all you're meditating on is darkness. And darkness will come in like a flood, and darkness will destroy your whole future. Ultimately, what it means is that you have mortgaged your future to your past. And you have refused to go on. You've seen deliverance on people who don't want to forgive. Actual demons manifest. What does that tell you? This is not a game. And just because demons don't manifest doesn't mean demons are not operating in your life if you have anger and unforgiveness towards somebody. The devil knows how to play a game. Right? The devil knows how to play a game. Right? All right. Love hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Let your love be without hypocrisy. We have to learn how to love. We have to learn how to love. The training for ministry fundamentally comes out of our ability to love. When you bring up children, what does it teach you? It teaches you how to love, isn't it? Sometimes children do things that are very difficult to understand. Especially in their teenage years, they're so unappreciative of things you do. They just take it for granted. What is God teaching you through all that? He's teaching you how to love. He's teaching you how to love when there seems to be no reciprocation of that love. What is he training you for? He's training you for ministry in the body of Christ, isn't it? Because in the body of Christ, you will find that those who have not tasted Jesus Christ will not have this ability to love. Only as you taste Jesus and as you mature in Jesus will you have that ability to love someone, isn't it? It is only as you grow in Jesus Christ can you take somebody else's flaws, isn't it? So as we come together as a ministry, there are going to be people who are going to come from many different backgrounds with many kinds of hurts. How will you minister to them? If you understand that God has a purpose for their lives, can you, as a responsible people of God, be able to minister to them to see them being restored, being healed? It's not easy. It is very painful at times. But we have to learn how to do that. Yeah, we have to learn how to do that because that's how God is going to train us and mold us. That's how he's going to anoint us. At the heart, to make sure that the anointing is what God wants it to be, the definitive term for that anointing is the ability to love. Look at Lucifer. All the anointings given to him were perfect. Now, what are those anointings being manifested as? They are being manifested with the spirit of murder. They are being manifested with the spirit of lust. They are being manifested with the spirit of anger. They are being manifested with the spirit of hate. They are being manifested with every kind of perversion. Right? Everything has become so twisted, it doesn't even begin to look like the original anymore. It is totally twisted. The power of evil. The power of evil that brings death and destruction. Yeah? Can you understand that? Yeah? So that's what God's telling us, right? When he gives you he wants to develop a gift inclination inside of you, it has to come based on the nature and character that God is trying to build inside of you. There is no purpose to the gift if you and I turn out to be a skunk. A skunk will always take something and operate it as a skunk. A snake will always be a snake. A monkey will always be a monkey. Right? Yeah. So we need to understand that. So we have to put on Christ. There is no other option because there is nothing else given to us that is going to stand the test of time. There's nothing else that is given to us that is good. It is through Christ who strengthens us that we can do all things the right way. Right? So we have to put on Christ. How do you put on Christ? Very simple. You always set your hope on him. Even as you grow in the Lord and the Lord starts identifying flaws in your character, flaws in your nature, sometimes you know something happens in a leadership position and out comes your anger and you throw a tantrum and there you are, God is telling you, there is this thing that has been buried. Now it has come out. What are you going to do about it? Right? What are you going to do about it? Who are you serving? You're serving me. So in that situation, when you just found out that you have got these kind of flaws, how are you going to deal with it? You can't brush it under the carpet because it's now been brought out. So where do you turn to? You turn to the Lord and you say, Lord, you can transform me. You can transfigure me. So manifest, O Lord, your nature and your character, Lord Jesus, so that this kind of a manifestation in my nature and my character will be uprooted by the roots and removed. It will shrivel into nothingness. But it takes courage to be willing to address that. But you must understand it is absolutely necessary that we address our flaws in character. Would Jesus have done what you and I did? Would Jesus have said what you and I did? Would Jesus have reacted to someone like that? Knowing that Peter was going to betray him, Jesus prays for him. At what time? At the time before he's going to go to the cross, he's praying for Peter. What a time to pray. Breaking bread with his disciples, knowing that 11 out of the 12 of them was going to run away. One out of those 11 was going to be actually someone who's going to be the means by which he was going to be totally sold. And yet he says, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. What an astonishing response, isn't it? But you see, God is not just telling you that Jesus was a great person. He's also telling you that his fullness is available to you. Now, one of the fundamental reasons why we pray in tongues is so that we can realize the mystery of Christ. If you can just function in that reality, the mystery of Christ, the mystery of his nature, his character, his witness, his testimony, you and I will surely change. Instead of sitting down there and saying, he did this to me and she did this to me and they said this about me and that pastor did this to me and that guy did that to me, you're wasting your time. Why are you wasting your time looking at people's flaws? What is going to come out of meditating on people's flaws? Turn back to the cross. Hear the words of the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. If we all had the mind of Christ, 99% of the things we do every day, we won't do. Right or not? You won't complain that the coffee is not right or it's not of the right hotness. I mean, those are small things. Huh? You would think that after 50 years on planet Earth and raising up children, at least you will have that much of maturity. But so many men don't have that, isn't it? The coffee is not right. You didn't have it at time when I wanted it. You know? That's like small boys, isn't it? You would think that after, at the age of 50, you would have grown up. But so many people don't grow up. How foolish it is. Right? Yeah. Let love be without hypocrisy. Romans chapter 12, verse 9. Be without hypocrisy. What that means is we can so easily pay lip service to love, using love doctrinally to teach something without trying to practice it in our lives, without asking God to enable that love to flow out of us. See, many people want to work with people who will say yes and amen to them. How long do you think this hallelujah chorus is going to carry on? It won't work. It is ridiculous. In the end, you're going to destroy everything because all you have is a bunch of yes men and they are lying to you. They're not even telling you that you're going off track. What do you want guys like that for? They're not your friends. A mature leader will understand that he needs someone to tell you, hey man, you're going off track. You need such people to tell you that. It's so valuable to have people like that in your leadership team. Right? So that's why God puts us in the context of a body. So no matter what you do, whether you're running a children's ministry, you have to build a team around that. You want to stand up as a prayer ministry, build a team around that. You may be heading the ministry, but you must build a team that is able to tell you when you're going off track, when you're seeing things that are not right. When you start thinking that moving by the Spirit with your emotions is the same thing as moving by the Holy Spirit, it's not. Where you need to know the difference between moving with your spirit man and moving by the Holy Spirit. Last Sunday, the Lord told me that you said a lot of things while having some truth in it. It was not of me, it was your preaching out of your spirit man. You were not preaching out of the Holy Spirit, because that was not the message I gave you to preach. And I did it last Sunday, both in the morning service in KL and in the evening service here. And I apologize for that. Yeah, you can go off track. Why do you go off track? Sometimes it is because you're afraid that you can't flow where God wants you to flow. Sometimes it is because, you know, you just take God for granted. Sometimes it is because you give vent to something that is not right within you, and it comes out. In a veneer of being truth, it is not the truth. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. And all of us can commit that. Yeah, so we have to learn how to understand these things and accept the correction. There's nothing wrong in realizing. It's wonderful if you can realize that you have done something that is wrong. There's nothing wrong with apologizing for it. And I apologize for that, because I should not have done that. Because I had a very good message both in the morning and the evening. I just didn't flow into it. For a reason that I can't quite explain. But I think a couple of people were hurt. I saw one lady get up from here and go at the back. I should have known that that was already a sign. But you know, sometimes when you're into something, you just want to get your own way. Right? So you need to pray for me. Right? That I don't get my own way. I told the Lord that many years ago. I said, whatever it is, don't let me get my own way. All right. Abhor what is evil. Abhor what is evil, especially when you are a party to that evil. What is evil? Sin is evil. When we sin, we have committed evil. Don't dress it up and say, oh, that was because, you know, I also have character flaws, you also have character flaws. Explain it. Sweep it under the carpet. And let the snake grow. And in 10 years' time, it comes out nice and big, strong enough to destroy everything in your life. Right? Abhor what is evil. You're never going to be blessed out of sin, right? You're never going to be blessed out of being dishonest. You're never going to be blessed out of just trying to get your own way in everything. Yeah? You're never going to be blessed out of expressing your pride and your arrogance. You're never going to be blessed out of being disobedient. You're never going to be blessed out of being manipulative and cunning. That is not wisdom. Be wise as a serpent means you understand how the serpent works, but it doesn't mean that you go and behave like a serpent. That's not what it means. That's why he says, be harmless as a dove, right? Because the dove symbolizes the Holy Spirit. He's talking about the fruit of the Holy Spirit. But all means understand how the devil works and how he can manipulate something. But don't, for heaven's sake, be like a serpent. Right? Be devoted. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good, hold on to good, because good cannot be defeated. Do the right thing. So what is he talking about here? He's now talking about character and nature, okay? When you choose to do the right thing, you're building your character in the Lord. It is pointless being anointed when you don't have a character. How on earth do you think you're going to function in an anointing when you don't have the character and the nature to carry that anointing? How do you think you're going to be a pastor when you don't have the character to be a shepherd? How on earth are you going to be a prophet when you don't have the character to do what is right? When you don't have the compassion for someone? How on earth can you be a prophet? You will just come out as a prophet who sends out condemnation on everybody's life, and you will be a total destructive force. Yes, prophets correct, but correct in the right way. Correction comes from the father's heart. Can you imagine if you are a father who comes out with correction on your children and you are always destructive? What are you doing? You're destroying your own kids. What kind of fatherhood is that? Or you are a husband and you come out with destructive words into your wife's life. What are you going to achieve out of that? Destroy your own wife? make her feel that she is totally incompetent, what are you going to achieve out of that? Or a wife who undermines her husband, makes him look like a jackass all the time. What are you going to do? You want a jackass for a husband? Come off it. Got to grow up sometime. If you belittle your own husband, you're just, right? You're just belittling your own self. Right? Yeah. Yeah. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Right? We need to be devoted to each other because the Lord our God is very devoted to us, isn't it? Give preference to one another in honor. Learn how to see, to be joyful when somebody else is blessed. All that is building of character. How are you going to be a leader when you want all the glory for yourself? Because two is always better than one. If you don't learn how to give honor where honor is due and credit where credit is due, how are you ever going to grow up to lead a large collection of people? How are you going to be a king? We all want to be kings. You want to be a king of one person yourself? If you're going to reign over a nation, that nation has to grow. Every man, woman, and child in that nation must grow. Every man, woman, and child in that nation must be blessed. Every man, woman, and child in that nation must experience the glory of God. Right? Let's look at, let's cross-reference 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7. We speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory. Right? To whose glory? Our glory. Did it say to one person's glory? No. To everyone's glory. Correct? So one of the things we must understand as the body of Christ, especially if you are the leader of our church, or you're a leader of a ministry, or you're a leader of any form of ministry, whether it's a worship ministry, whether it's a children's ministry, right? Whether it's a hospital visitation ministry, right? You must understand that God wants to manifest glory in the collective. When Jesus went to the cross in John 17, verse 22, he prays, Father, the glory that thou hast given me, I have given to them. So ultimately, a leader must understand that the glory comes from all whom he leads, not just from himself. So ultimately, the real leader in the kingdom of God will be able to see others being glorified by God and being raised, right? And be blessed by that. Ultimately, he will come into the joy of seeing others being blessed. Haven't you as a father seen your children being blessed and take joy out of that? That there is more joy in seeing your children being blessed than just you being blessed. Am I right? I hope you are such a father. Right? And that's what it means to be mature in the body of Christ. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 2. Verse 13. I'm writing to you, chapter 2, 1 John chapter 2, verse 13. I'm writing to you, fathers, because you know him who has been from the beginning. Right? What does that mean? You know that God reigns. Right? You know that everything in God has a beginning and it will continue to grow from that beginning. That is maturity. Right? So, you are a father. You're seeing children around you who are just making a beginning, correct? I'm speaking in spiritual language, right? So you understand that those children are going to grow and they're going to see the glory of God manifest in their lives. That's the way it has to be, right? I'm writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I've written to you, children, because you know the Father. I've written to you, fathers, because you know him who has been from the beginning. Again, he says the same thing. Right? Fatherhood recognizes God as being sovereign. Fatherhood understands that God alone is supreme. That the highest form of maturity is to simply bow down before God. That is necessary in the leadership of the church. So do you have a heart to see those whom you are leading grow up, being anointed, right? Seeing their boundaries and their territories expanding. Are you thrilled by that? If you're not thrilled by that, take it to the Lord. Because that kind of reality comes out of the heart of Jesus. Praise the Lord. You know, self-glorification is so limiting, guys. Self-glorification is so limited. One person, one light. How big can one light be? Isn't it far more intelligent to manifest a million lights? How much effect can one light be? So you are the sun. So you put the sun in the vastness of the universe. How much of light can you manifest out of one sun? Yeah? Wouldn't it be far more intelligent to have a million suns rather than one sun? Million suns shining in million different positions. How much more light will there be? Open your heart and understand. This is what God is meaning. You are all bright morning stars. You are all morning stars, right? There is one bright morning star. But the brightness of that one bright morning star is to be manifested in each one of us. And as a leader, you must understand that and know that and give room for that. And you think this is my ministry, this is me, this is about my anointing. You're being so foolish and so small. Look at the vastness of God's heart. He tells Abraham, your sons will be as the stars in the heavens. See God's picture of things. So he says, you fathers, you know the God who has been from the beginning. Understand that. See, he's talking about character. He's also talking about vision, isn't it? Not verse 11. Not lagging behind in diligence. We must all be diligent for the things of the Lord. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. We serve the Lord. We don't just serve ourselves. This is for me, mine, and mine. This is I, me, my, and mine. You can't go very far with that. Maybe God is testing you out. Can I trust you with my children? Or are you just going to look after your own children? Can you see spiritual children? Verse 12, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer. Now he comes up with the ministry of prayer. Prayer is a gift inclination. All of us need to pray. You see, the Holy Spirit's thinking process is like this. After pointing out to those things that are needed in the body of Christ in terms of character and nature, he then says, come and pray. Because you will find. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to find that in any situation where you are put in the church, you're going to find that all of these things are going to be missing, isn't it? In some degree or another. Right? So what does he want you to do? He wants you to pray. Well, what do? We criticize. Why? Because prayer is tough. Huh? Criticism is easy. You know, you just can let go and go, isn't it? Huh? I'm just being honest. So go and honestly pray. Go and honestly pray. Go and honestly intercede. Go and honestly fast. Then he goes to verse 13, contributing to the needs of the saints. That is not handing out checks. The needs of the saints are manifold. He's not just talking about material needs. The needs of the saints. The lack in our own character and our nature. Sometimes it is a lack of courage. Sometimes it is a lack of conviction. Sometimes we bend with the wind. Whichever side the wind blows, we are also bending with it. No. Needs of the saints. Yeah? So you are called to be a prayer warrior. So what do you see as a need in the ministry? By the Holy Spirit. You know, the Lord says the first can be last. So God, when he gives out his rewards, I think we are going to be very surprised with who he rewards. Practicing hospitality. Hospitality ministry, the ministry of helps are very, very important parts of the Christian church. Right? Let's cross-reference to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. These are also gift inclinations. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing. Those are all gifts of the Holy Spirit. Helps, administrations, right? Helps and administrations are part of the gift inclination God wants to build. Right? Helps. We need people to really do things in the church, right? To get involved in the mundane things, right? Waiting on tables, right? Like Stephen started off in his ministry. Administrations, we need people to get things organized, things done. There is a level of organization that is needed. There are people who need to see that somebody is there to do what needs to be done in a particular situation. Right? That's the gift of administration. Right? Whatever it is that God has given you an ability to do, organize it. Right? Administer it. There are many, many different levels of organization, many different levels of administration. Yeah? Can get very sophisticated. If you're holding a big conference, you will need really a lot of really good organization to see that you know, so many needs are met in the organization of that big conference, right? So you see, there are so many things, so many roles that we can play. But you see, in the body of Christ, we actually multitask. You know, the world system talks about all this, but God introduced this when he gave these writings to Paul when? Something like 40 AD, 50 AD, 60 AD, 64 AD or something like that, Paul died, right? So, but before that period of time, God already put all these thoughts. You know, the world modern management talks about multitasking. The Bible knew of it many years ago, right? Are you with me? So you and I are all called to be multitasking type of people, people who can do many things, many different things, have a big gift mix. Don't just simply say, oh, I'm only given this kind of ministry and sit there in the hall and say, this is all it can be. There are so many things you can realize in the body of Christ. Remember, truth sets you free. When you move by the Holy Spirit, you're free. Open your heart, open your imagination. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind. Dianoia, your imaginative mind. Open your mind in Christ and see what faith can see for you. Faith is the evidence of the unseen, isn't it? Right? Don't sit down there and look at your past and say, oh my goodness, in my past I flunked my exam, I couldn't do this, I couldn't do that, they said I couldn't do this, they said I did not do this, they said I'm not good looking, nobody will look at me. I was designed to be nothing more than a chair so everyone could sit on me. Right? Wrong kind of prophetic. Huh? That's what you call the curse. Do you know that the curse is prophetic? It is destructively prophetic. Puts you in a prison, right? Pigeonholes you, right? And make sure you never get out of there. Yeah, so many of us have accepted words like that in our lives. Been through a bad marriage and we think, that's it, my life is over. Been through a difficult childhood and therefore my life is over. No, it's not. So many other Christians, right, see another Christian make a mistake and then use that mistake to put that person in a little prison and say, you see, you're like this. That's not what your mouth is designed to bring forth. Your mouth is designed to exhort, to edify, and to console. We all make mistakes. We have all made many mistakes. Most of the mistakes we have made in our lives, we don't even know we made them. All right, bless those who persecute you, bless and curse not. All these are character developing realities. Right? You want to be a leader, you want to bless the church, you want to be in a leadership position to stand high so that you can be a blessing. Brother, to be a blessing, you must not be a curse. To be a blessing is to be a blessing when there are situations and circumstances that are not what you want it to be. When somebody slaps you, what is your response? When somebody cheats you, somebody betrays you, what is your response? Take a gun and shoot the guy. We don't need people like that in the ministry. In the end, you will be the only one left. Because you have shot everybody. Because eventually there will be a circumstance where you will have ample reason to shoot that guy too. The young man is anointed, he's growing up, right? You keep him pigeonholed somewhere along the line, the church is going to split up. If you could have understood that guy has to be let go, just as you have to let your children go. Everything comes out of the home situation, right? You bring up your children and then somewhere along the line you have to let them go. And sometimes they're not appreciative of what you have done. What's your response? Sit down and grumble and grumble and grumble and grumble and decay and decay and decay and decay. Right? That's why when you bring up children, you have to bring up children in the Lord. Yeah? Because it is the Lord who must fill all in all. If you make an idol out of your children, you will find that they are not very nice gods. Haven't you been children before? Haven't you seen your responses to your parents? And then when they died, suddenly you felt very sorry about the things you did, isn't it? But until they died, you never appreciated them. It was certainly true for me. Yeah? So what did you learn from it? I learned, right? Yeah. Praise the Lord. So sometimes we expect people to appreciate us, right? That may probably be very hard to find, actually, because appreciation comes out of maturity in God. A person who appreciates what you have done has a deep appreciation of God. So again, when you build a ministry, build it in God, because otherwise there will be nothing left. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Have empathy. Don't strut around like a peacock. God blesses you, God raises you to high office, and suddenly nobody can touch you anymore. You've become a small god. You're so important that you've become a fool. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. When you're no longer humble, that's where you are going. So Lucifer even began to reason out that I could be God myself. So what did he do? He took these one-third of the angels and he influenced them so that he became their God. In the end, he killed them all. That's the tragedy. Blessed with so much, anointed with so much, and he murdered all of them. That's why Jesus said he was a murderer right from the beginning. He was a murderer right from the beginning. Who did he murder? He murdered his own friends. He misled them, twisted their minds, and he killed them. I hope you don't turn out to be a minister like that. I hope I don't turn out to be a minister like that. I told the Lord, if that is ever on the cards, you better kill me first. Take me home. It's pointless carrying on like that. Be of the same mind towards one another, verse 16. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation, because the last will be first. Could very well be that. You know, sometimes you get pearls of wisdom out of a child's mouth. The day you can't listen to things like that, you have lost your way. Verse 17, never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men, Christian and non-Christian. Honor what is right. Never pay back evil. All that is part of character building. You see, after telling you what the gift inclinations are, God spends much more time telling you what the character is needed to build those gifts, isn't it? You understand? Because the character is not, those inclinations will come out perverted. Yeah, so there are so many things we all need to correct. It's not comfortable, but it's necessary. Don't ever think, oh my goodness, I've got such a short time. You are a creature of eternity. There are many things you're going to go through in the future. There are many purposes that God has for you. So get the right things right. Get the basics right. Build on the right foundation. Everything has to be built on the Lord Jesus Christ. That which is not built on the Lord Jesus Christ has absolutely no position before God. Has absolutely no position before God. So don't waste your time dreaming up your own ambitions. You're just wasting your life, wasting your opportunities. You're just trying to learn lessons the hard way, because any altar built that does not manifest the fragrance of Jesus Christ will be destroyed. Verse 18, if possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. In the midst of disagreement, can you hold your peace? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. The peace that passeth all understanding. Peace comes out of the name of God, Yahweh Shalom. Peace is very powerful. You know, peace is victory. Romans chapter 16 verse 20, and the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. So choose peace and you will crush Satan. If someone is misbehaving, if someone is driving you up the wall, it's the spirit behind him. So how do you overcome that spirit? With the peace that passeth all understanding. Yeah? Yahweh Shalom. Yahweh Shalom. Powerful. Covenant name. Covenant name of God. Verse 19, never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. In the context of the body of Christ, correction will come from the Lord. I'm not saying that there is no place for correction amongst ourselves. There is. But in the overall scheme of things, correction will come from the Lord. Sometimes we get into a frenzy. He's doing this to me, he's doing that to me, he's cheating me, he's doing this and he's doing that. Give it to the Lord, because if you keep on following that, it will tear you apart. If somebody is hurting you, you go back to the Lord and you look at the Lord. Because if you keep looking at that person who is hurting you, you're going to be torn apart. Very crucial to understand this. Let the Lord be your defender. Take it to the Lord and say, Lord, you protect me from these things and enable me to overcome these things, so that when this is all through, when I've come through this fire, when I've carried my cross, I will have a witness that will enable me to be an overcomer. If God takes you through a situation where someone is really misusing you, someone in leadership is misusing you, he's trying to build something inside of you. It's all a question of how you will respond. So many of us respond with our anger and in our self-righteousness, and we miss the opportunity to grow. It's not comfortable to grow in such a situation. But if you can find God in such a situation, you will be blessed. You will grow from strength to strength, from glory to glory. Did you know that the cross is glorious? We say that. We don't want to live that though. So now that's why when we come together as leadership in any form of ministry, any form of human organization, you will always find that there are people who will drive you up the wall. How are you going to respond? How did Jesus wash the feet of Judas Iscariot? How did Jesus wash the feet of Judas Iscariot? How did Jesus break bread with Judas Iscariot and say with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer? Nothing was withheld from Judas. Verse 20, but if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. Do the right thing. Somebody may not like you. Somebody may not like you because he has a problem with your race. Somebody may not like you because he has a problem with your status in life, your background. So what happens when you have such a situation? This verse tells you, but if your enemy is hungry, feed him. Bless and curse not. If he is thirsty, give him a drink, for in doing so, you will keep burning coals upon his head. That has got many different implications, but anyway. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. That's the test. That is the test. That is the test of your faith. Overcome evil with good. Not easy. It's not easy to be in leadership. It's not easy to become sons of God. It's not easy to become kings. It is not easy to become a prophetic people. But all things are possible through Christ who strengthens you. Praise the Lord. You are the workmanship of God, created in Christ Jesus for the good works that the Father has ordained in your life. So walk towards that. And don't be sidetracked. Understand that you have a great destiny. Nobody can take that away from you. Why do you let small things? Who takes the van when? What does it matter? If the guy wants the van, let him keep it. Let him park it under his bedroom. So what? The world will end if you don't get the van? Come off it, guys. There are more important issues in life. the ministry will come to an end. Praise the Lord. Shall we pray? Father, we bless you, Lord, that you are so concerned with developing a gift mix with the right character. And you persevere with us because you understand that that right character is so important. And you sent your son so that that right character will be defined in him. And he went through the cross to define that right character, which in turn the Holy Spirit is developing within each one of us. Teach us to understand this, and teach us to understand, Lord, that when you take us through difficult situations, when you take us into situations where we meet difficult people, you always have the intent of building us in our character and our nature. You always have the intent of building our faith so that we will see you in the difficult situations, that we will see you in the midst of so much of darkness in the world. That is the key. It is the ability to see you that is the ultimate blessing that you can give us. It is the ability to know you when the chips are all down. It is the ability to be able to see your purposes when everything seems to be going wrong. That is, O God, true faith, Lord. So, Father, as you fashion us, as you mold us, as you shape us, teach us not to take our eyes off you, Lord. Teach us to always keep our eyes fixed on you, because you are the truth and the truth will set us free, Lord. So bless each one of us, Lord, as we respond to the calling upon our lives, as we respond, O God, to the understanding that you are in the business, O God, of developing a gift mix within us. And that gift mix is going to be developed in our nature and our character, O God, that is entirely consistent with Christ Jesus, our Lord. So we thank you, Father, for what you mean to achieve in us in Christ Jesus by the Holy Spirit. And enable us, O Lord, to become the blessing. Enable us, O God, to realize, O God, the awesomeness of the call upon our lives. Father God, we thank you for what you are teaching us. We thank you for the immensity of your patience with us, Lord. We are not easy people to live with, but you have sent your Spirit to indwell us and to work out your salvation into our beings. We want to thank you for all that you have achieved, O God, with us in spite of ourselves. We want to just humble ourselves before you and just thank you, Lord, that you who are the Most High God have chosen to labor with us, whom you have fashioned out of the dust. We want to thank you, Lord, for your goodness, your faithfulness. We want to thank you for the blood of Jesus that has been shed for each one of us. Always teach us, O God, to remember, O Lord, that that same blood has been shed for our brethren. No matter how many flaws they have, Lord, they are purchased in your blood. So teach us to value, O God, what your blood has done, Lord, through the cross. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Amen.